Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Big night tonight, Drew.
Really?
Yeah. Man show premiere.
Oh, big night.
Yeah.
Do you have to go to a party after this?
No.
Oh.
No, I don't.
Well, they didn't invite you. I understand.
No. The party's going on right now because the show is premiering right now.
And as usual, as you and I have prepared many shows from this studio. Think about it. Other people have had parties. Remember, I mean, you know.
How many what?
Other shows have premiered. Loveline premiered. The Man Show's premiered. And you've been sitting here doing this show.
Yeah.
Every show you've ever premiered, you've been right here in this studio.
That's because I love the kids. Yeah. But, Ann, put it on the Man Show over
there.
She's
doing it, don't worry.
Comedy Central.
Whatever.
Big premiere. Big episode tonight. Big episode. And, no, I'm not going to the party afterward because, I'm getting picked up at 4:30 in the morning to go fishing with the fridge.
The fridge?
The fridge. William Refrigerator Perry.
Oh, is this is going to be a
Man show
bit.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
Wait, is he still alive?
I hope so. Otherwise, it's going to be a very depressing piece with the fridge's corpse floating around the lake.
He was like 380 when he was playing football, right?
Yeah.
What's he doing? What's he ringing in that now?
He could have been 350, 360.
What's he pulling in now?
It's not like he's 6'8", though.
I understand.
He's probably 6'1". Yeah. He's coming in about 4 and change, but he's big boned.
Oh, big frame.
Hey, listen, say what you want about the fridge, those of you who are...
He's probably a really nice guy.
Chicago Bear fans from the 80s will remember him and his dominance, but... the fridge, for a big fat guy, he got out of that three-point stance in a hurry.
He's a good ball player.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Remember they put him in at the goal line?
Yeah.
Put this 380-pound guy in the backfield, and they'd get on the one-yard line, the two-yard line.
Yeah.
They'd either hand it to him or let him lead with Peyton behind him.
Yeah.
And when that guy got out of that three-point stance and covered about 6-7 yards to the goal line, is quick as a wideout.
Yeah.
Did, except for he weighed about 375.
Yeah.
And when he hit that middle linebacker coming in at 235, it was just like, I'd seen him score touchdowns where he didn't get hit hard enough at the line of scrimmage and ended up sort of cartwheeling through the end zone. You know, he actually launched himself through the back of the end zone. I mean, and even he'd mow down a couple of guys and still go cartwheeling out the back of the end zone. He's a big fat guy. I think he could dunk a basketball back then too.
Really?
Yeah, he was a 380-pound, 75-pound dude who had some... He was quick. I mean, he was always out of shape.
Yeah.
He was always a big, fat guy. But he could jump. He could catch. He was quick out of the stands. He wasn't just some big, fat guy they put in the middle.
Where are you going fishing?
We're going...
Like Castaic or something?
Yeah, we're going to Piru or something like that nearby. So that's good.
Does he live out here?
No, he lives in Chicago still, I think.
Oh, boy.
And... by the way, I went to Vegas yesterday / today. Didn't go to bed.
Last night?
Yeah, what I did is I got a 7 p.m. flight out of Burbank on Saturday. And I got a 6:30 flight. Oh, yes, yawn for me. What's a 6:30 flight out of Vegas this morning. You ever do that?
What the hell were you doing all night?
How dare you?
No, I've never done that.
Anderson's making a Coke
reference.
Who'd
you go with?
I went with Man Show guys, Daniel, Jimmy, those guys. Well, you look at it this way. You go to Vegas, right?
Yeah.
You go with Daniel and Jimmy and his cousin Sal.
They're not going to the hotel room, ever.
You're not going to bed before 4 or 5 anyway.
Yep.
It's not like it's 1:45, I'm turning in.
Yeah.
No, you're gambling, you're going to strip clubs, you're hanging out. You're going to about 4 or 5 o'clock anyway, right? Well, instead of go back to the hotel room with the Cottonmouth and the 8 other guys and try to crash out in some sort of bizarre sort of alternate slumber zone, why not just cut your losses, start heading for the airport?
You didn't do one of those bizarre 5-hour strip joint.
No, not that long. But the point is I just started heading for the airport at 5:45.
That's good.
Yeah, it's not bad. Yeah. Got home at 8 this morning. Oh. Was up 24 hours.
Give me the pill, Skipper.
And I'll tell you what, while I was driving home from the airport, watching the daybreak at about 7:45 this morning. I was thinking, thank God the fridge is coming over at 4:30 tomorrow morning. I'm really looking forward to that. All right. So, again, Big Man Show premiere tonight. And let's...
Yay!
Thank you. Get back to the phones, or at least to the phones, and speak to Amanda, who's 16. Amanda?
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Well, I got this friend named Jerry, and somehow he got poison oak on his balls.
Nice.
And on his penis.
Beautiful.
And he was, like, announcing it. So I was like, oh, I'm going to call and find out what we can do about this, because he thought that he should put an alcohol prep pad on.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
We were all sitting around.
What's an alcohol prep pad? Like, before you get a... Hold on, shut up. Before you get a shot?
Yeah. It was like, I think it put something that burns on, something that burns. It's nice.
Yeah.
Look, he probably has it elsewhere, right?
It's not on his face.
Yeah, of course. Well, he needs to see someone. There are steroid creams that can help with that, and sometimes steroid shots and pills that have to be used on top of that. Usually when it's on the genitals, which is not that uncommon, because, you know, guys, their hands go there a lot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so if it's on their hands, it's on their junk.
Yeah.
You notice that about guys? It's less, you know, people touch their face like 400 times a minute, but men...
touch your junk.
More.
Yeah.
Hey, well, wait a minute. Is there a difference between poison oak and poison ivy?
It's all Russ, and it's all the same family of plant, but it's a little different. And we have poison oak out here in the Pacific. They have poison ivy out there.
We don't have poison ivy out here?
I listened to playing baseball night with my kids, and they hit a ball into the poison ivy oak, and I was looking at them going, Jesus Christ, we have in our backyard loaded with poison oak.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, as an adult, there's just a handful of things that make it to that list that you don't think about anymore.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Include quicksand,
yeah.
Poison oak,
no.
Your name being put in alphabetical order.
Yeah.
The stuff that used to constantly run through your mind as a kid, not around anymore.
How many times now are you looking for a ball you've lost?
Never.
Okay, that's where the poison oak gets
right.
into the equation.
I spent my entire childhood looking for a ball in ivy.
Yeah. There you go.
It was like this one ball, a
yellow tennis ball,
lineal mile of ivy, and I just looked in this huge ivy patch. That's how I spent my childhood looking for ivy.
It's a nice sort of metaphor for your whole childhood.
Yeah, once in a while I'd get lost and have to send someone to look for me in the ivy.
Yeah.
Where is he? He's in the ivy. Justine?
Hi.
Hey, you're 20. What's up?
Congratulations on the Man Show premiere.
Thanks. Big premiere tonight. Thank you very much.
Also, I do have a serious question, but first, can I just make a quick request from you guys?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a longtime listener, and I used to make a best of tape with my own compilations, and somehow I taped over part of it, but I haven't heard the Dr. Drew rap in forever.
Not the boogie, but the rap?
The shuffle, yeah. Now, wait. Justine, let's just make sure we're on the same page, because we played the Dr. Drew boogie last week.
That's not the good one.
But you want to hear the Dr. Drew shuffle.
That's right.
Hmm. Interesting.
It's better. That was the original, right?
Well, right. It's old school.
Yeah.
That's good. Will you play the whole thing later?
Yeah, all right. We'll play the whole thing later.
What about now? Just get it over with. Just get it out of the way, shall we?
All right,
Gary.
Anderson, can we play the Dr. Drew shuffle? Get it over
pee
with.
Pee on this stick. Makes me sick. Pee on this stick.
That horse is his high sick. Horse, which used to get out of the barn.
In my underwear again. Here's what's going to happen, asshole. Stuff like this makes me sick.
You're fat.
Asshole.
You're fat.
Can I say that?
You're fat.
Darn.
You're overweight.
I want to be dominated.
You're gay.
I want to be dominated.
You're gay.
When I was 19, I ate about 4 boiled peyote buttons and stayed up all night but felt no effect.
It's called intimacy.
Can I say that?
This is not acceptable.
Can I say that?
You're fat.
Pee on this stick.
Not acceptable.
Boiled peyote button.
You're overweight.
Not acceptable. Can I say that?
Yes, you can.
I'm a rapist.
Oh, Drew, please, the mic's on now.
Has all the classic drops in it. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
That you're gay and you're fat and all.
Sure.
Otherwise, we played the boogie last week, and I realized I'd lost my righteous indignation.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to regain that. Yeah. I really am.
All right. Well, let's see if we can find it now. Justine, what's your question?
Great. Thank you. Okay, my question is this.
And by the way, Adam, thanks for talking over that. She specifically wanted to tape it. It was nice of you.
I did want to explain and felt compelled to explain what all the horse sounds were, because it's a little bit of a non sequitur.
Well, that, and it's also been translated. It's become your high horse. You notice that?
My high horse?
Anderson, am I right on that? Yeah.
You're right. Barely. But it used to be Drew's high horse, which was out of the barn. All right, Justine, go ahead, baby.
Okay, so I have this pattern with boyfriends where, first of all, I always have a boyfriend. But I've had three long-term serious relationships since 11th grade with no breaks in between. They actually overlap. And I don't know, I get attached to these guys emotionally. And, like, right now, I love my boyfriend very much, but I lose interest sexually.
Mm. Do you feel, this is like one of those situations that Woody Allen describes where you'd never want to be a member of a club that would have you as a member, that somehow a guy that is sort of succumbs to your overtures is somehow spoiled?
No, I don't think it's that. It's just not as exciting.
So you're into the longing phase.
Right.
How about a guy that never lets you, never succumbs to your overtures? Would that be like somebody you just could not get out of your crosshairs?
I don't really go for that as much. Usually I like the flirtation, I like the chase, and then getting it the first time, that's exciting, and then that's it, and then
you're over. Okay.
Yeah.
But what if within the relationship the guy constantly kept you off balance?
So that
phase carried out through the relationship. You never quite knew if he was into you. You're not sure how you stood. Good one day, bad the next.
Yeah, in a way, that's true, because I get really, really jealous when I don't need to. But that sort of keeps it exciting.
It's all bad, right? It's all bad. Okay?
Yeah.
It's all ways to avoid intimacy. It's all ways to keep it in that state. However you learn to be you, somebody was never giving you what you needed growing up. You know, you're that person who never gets from dad what she needed, basically. Her dad died or left or something.
Right.
What did he do?
He's not physically abusive, but just very verbally abusive, very loud, yells and screams all the time. Right. Very negative person.
Right. And do you tend to go for negative guys or just guys that
The guys are the complete opposite.
But have you ever gone
that's
for...
That's why it doesn't
yeah,
last.
Yeah, that's why it doesn't last. If you went for a real negative guy, you'd probably... That's the kind of guy Adam was describing.
Mm.
A guy that is not available to you, who's always sort of quasi-abusive to you.
Right. But I end up with guys that dote on me and are always there and go way out of their way to do everything.
Well, all things being equal, you've made the better of the two choices, but it's all still about avoiding intimacy. I will recommend a book to you that you can read that talks about where this comes from. It's called
Hop on Pop.
Hop on Pop is one option. The other is a book by Ethel Persson by the name of Dreams of Love and Fateful Encounters. Dreams of Love and Fateful Encounters, you can get it at Amazon. And if that is too complex, Hop on Pop does the trick too.
If there's some sort of law that women could not be named Ethel after 1955.
Or Gertrude. Yeah, Ethel and Gertrude, gone.
Let me tell you, I'd take an Ethel over Brittany. Or what, Drew, you know the young kids' names. What are they now?
Jennifer, Brittany, Amy.
Oh, really? But Amy and Jennifer.
Oh, you mean the real young? The real young. You mean the little kids?
Yeah.
Oh, sheesh.
Well, they must be naming them after whatever pop stars in vogue now, right?
Yeah, a lot of Britneys. A lot of Britneys, a lot of...
Right.
The
you know what I don't like? I don't like it when they name them after writers or playwrights or like a Beckett. Names like that. I just want to punch the parents because you pretentious a-holes. I think it's... thank you. There's my high horse. I think it was...
There's my righteous indignation.
No, what's her name? Melissa Etheridge.
What's your name, her daughter's?
Her kid's name, her son's name is Beckett.
Ugh.
Yeah. And it always bothers me when people do that. Holden. You know, those kind of names. It bothers them to me. I really like them to just pick five or six names. They're not racehorses. Stop getting so creative. And what happened with... How come racehorses always have bizarre names, by the way? No horse just named Stu or Bob or anything. It's always crazy stuff. Jeff?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I work at a porn store, and a lot of times guys bring back their videos all covered in lube and...
Oh, this is good times. No, they don't.
What?
Hold on. That's ridiculous.
I used to work at a video store every single time.
Anderson?
What?
Anderson
what?
Worked at a video store?
For like 2 years. They'd always come back with slime.
Oh, my God.
What kind of video store did you work at?
Like a little mom and pop place.
But they would, they'd rent, they'd have the porn section, right?
Of course, yeah.
And...
Of course.
And really, would there really be slime on those things?
Yeah, not all of them, but there'd be a lot that would. And we'd actually, we found the guy one time, and we said, hey, man, don't rent from here anymore, because you're returning them with this stuff all over.
Oh, that must have been comfortable.
Did he look like Adam?
He was a big fat guy.
Oh.
Jesus Christ.
But most of the money those places make is in porn, as you know, Adam.
Oh, yeah. How dare you? What would they do? What? Does he like, transport them in the creases of his fat? Or was it, it was just he... He popped the thing out with lube still on his hand?
He wouldn't realize.
He'd give it to us in like in a little case, and we'd open the case, and there'd be like this stuff from aliens. You remember that stuff? It was connected to it, and you'd open it
up. No way.
I swear to God.
Well, look, that's intentional.
Yeah,
that guy was messing with it, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he was just a really fat, sloppy guy that didn't think about it.
Well, how about your partners, Jeff? Your clients, Jeff? What kind of thing are they doing?
Well, for example, we had one guy return a video the other night. And it had some lube on it or something, and I checked his videos in, and I had an itch on my eye, actually in the corner of my eye, and I didn't touch my eye, but I ran in the bathroom, washed my hands real good, and then took like a paper towel and sort of itched the inside of my eye. I mean, is that anything really to worry about? I mean, can you catch anything?
Well,
first
thing, these guys have no diseases. They're constantly at home beating off. They're not out catching things.
Well, this particular guy returned some gay videos, and I don't know if
relax
anything, but
relax.
Oh man, what was it called?
I don't remember.
Come on,
I don't have a clue.
No clue, really.
I
imagine
you
wouldn't.
You had to restock the thing, didn't you?
We just go by the number.
Oh, I see.
There's numbers on all the videos.
Right.
Put it back in order.
If this is a bogus call, very creative answer.
No, yeah.
He's right. We totally buy it.
I buy it. No, yeah. Smart. And but within the gay section, are there specialty sections?
There's like the jailhouse leather gay.
Right.
And then there's the little pretty 18-year-old gay stuff, and then there's the big burly black dudes, and there are sort of subsections.
Right. They have like oral gay and cornhole gay.
Yeah. Solo.
Solo.
Yeah.
This guy's beating off.
Yeah.
I did some gay porn in the late 70s.
Yeah, but never solo. Hey, you know, how ironic is it that you're just sitting there in front of a TV and there's a guy beating off and you're just beating off?
Well, I mean,
you might as well just get a mirror, throw away the TV set.
Yeah, but you've watched women do that, right, in your little collection.
I would not rent the movie that had exclusively that in it. It seemed like it was missing some elements.
Right.
You know, like a big budget movie with no score to it or something, or subtitles. You know, it'd be missing something for me. Jeff, you're fine. Hey, why don't you get some of that Curel stuff?
Yeah, the alcohol-based hand cleaner.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So there's really nothing to worry about then?
Well, yes, wash your hands carefully. That's right. And don't put them up to mucosal surfaces like your eyes or your mouth, just like you did. You're fine.
Hey, you know what's weird? If you put something in the VCR and you're beating off and you finish, you don't head right for the VCR, do you?
I guess some people aren't just sort of grab it and put it back in the case or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but then you go mop up and, you know, you do it the next morning. I don't know.
Listen, right. You know how bizarre people are, right? Okay? Think about this. Think about our call.
I can no longer rent porn now that people recognize me now. It's ruined.
Oh, really?
I can't do it. Hey, Adam, what are you... Hey, yeah. They know. The people know who I am now. It's humiliating.
And it wasn't before.
I'm around talking about beating off all night on a radio show, but it's still embarrassing.
I
had a certain amount of anonymity.
What could you rent that doesn't already exist in your bunker?
Well, that's another.
Yeah.
That's another good point. All right, hey, is the man show on over there? Are we doing it in a commercial? What do we got going here? It's on there.
Yeah, you're standing next to Jimmy with a funny face.
All right. What are we in a clinic? Where are we?
No, it's like a pink flashing background.
pink flashing background.
Relax.
Just go to break. Come in. Come on.
All right, we'll take a little break. I'm going to go watch the premiere of The Man Show. We'll be right back.
Love Line. Love Line. 1-800-LOVE-191. Back in a minute.
Doug is
Drew. Hey, it's Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's hop back on the phones. Big Man Show premiere tonight, by the way. Yeah, Comedy Central. Yeah.
I'm not sure anybody under 18 ought to be watching that.
Really?
Yeah.
You just saw a segment, Drew.
I'm over 18.
Are you?
Yay!
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Brian?
Yeah.
You're 22?
You know, am I just saying that? A stampede of 17-year-olds just ran to the TV.
Great.
Unfortunately.
Keep talking. What's up, Brian?
I got a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I was just wondering if there was any new medicines for, like, LSD leftover side effects.
Well, it depends what you're having. Are you talking about the mood disturbances, panic?
Yeah, kind of paranoia.
Yeah.
Anxiety.
Yeah, there is.
Things like that.
Do you feel still kind of locked into a high a little bit? Like you never came down from a little bit of a...
Well, yeah, maybe a little bit, but...
How long have you been feeling like this?
Like 3 years.
And has it been getting better over that 3 years or worse?
Yeah, but it's pretty slow.
Getting better over the 3 years?
Yeah.
So there are, absolutely. I mean, you need to go to a doctor who has some experience in treating this, but...
Yeah, I went to a doctor, and he acted like he didn't know what I was talking about.
Was it a psychiatrist?
Yeah. I told him what it was, and he was like, yeah, that acid should have been under your system in 3 days.
Oh, no. There are chronic neurologic syndromes from LSD. I've seen a number of different syndromes. What you have is something called the locked-in syndrome, which is rather common. It's when you use a fair amount of acid, and all of a sudden you feel like you've never really kind of quite come down from it, and then you start feeling kind of paranoid, then you get panicky, and then you get depressed.
How much did he do?
Quite a bit. I don't know, maybe like 100.
Over
a summer and a half.
And many of the antidepressant medications will work for this. You need to see a psychiatrist who has some background in what's called addiction medicine or addiction psychiatry. They should know a little bit about this. And there's a lot of stuff that can help with this. So definitely take advantage of that because it is a miserable, disabling condition if you're not careful.
Let me give one of my famous automotive analogies and how it would pertain to the brain. And this is true with anything in life. Really anything. If you, and this is what acid is. And what do you expect, by the way? You're out joyriding your brain 100 times. I mean, picture your car. Now, it's fun to head out to an open field and just do donuts in your car. It's fun to, get it going 60, grab the emergency brake and pull a Starsky and Hutch maneuver. I mean, it's fun to catch a little air when you're going over the train tracks and stuff once in a while. And I used to like, when it would rain, I'd take the car, go to the Gelson's parking lot and do some donuts and stuff. You know, it was all great. The problem is your car wears out a little faster. You can screw things up. You might get lucky and take it out a couple of times and have no problems. Or you may catch a rut or something and tweak the whole A-frame.
Yeah. And
do you know what I'm saying?
And there's a certain amount of inevitability in that.
The more you take it out, the higher the chances you're going to tweak it. But here's what I'm saying about your brain, kiddies. I like to go out and take my brain for a spin every once in a while, just like I like to take my car for a little hot rod every once in a while. But you do it all the time, and you do it irresponsibly, and you do it crazy, and you're going to break it. Mm-hmm. And the difference between the car and your brain is, the car you can at least sell and get a new one. Brain, that's it. I mean, what he did with his brain was he took it out and did donuts in the mud with it 100 times, and now he's wondering why the thing pulls a little to the right.
Yeah, people don't understand their brain is them. They don't understand that. It's like the brain is like some abstract organ that affects their sort of coordination or something. No, this is you. Your experience of self, reality, mood, everything you feel can be profoundly distorted.
Crystal?
Hi.
You're 16. What's up?
Okay, I was giving my boyfriend a hand job,
mm-hmm.
and I pulled on the foreskin a little because he's not circumcised, and he said it hurt.
Yeah.
And okay. I didn't think anything of it, But then later, I was on three-way with my boyfriend and my friend Chris, and both Chris and my boyfriend aren't circumcised, but Chris said he could pull his foreskin all the way back, and my boyfriend can maybe do it so the head's kind of poking out. the fort starts to hurt a lot.
Right, so he has some narrowing, some stenosis of the foreskin. That's one of the reasons that getting a circumcision is a good idea, because that narrowing can happen. And then when you pull it through like you did, kind of vigorously, it tears, and then it narrows even more, and then pretty soon you can't get the head out at all.
You can't just talk about grad night or something. You got two guys. You got to talk about the pre-pews for an hour on the phone. And by the way, Drew, get used to this. This is where you're heading.
With my kids?
Oh, yes. A lot of foreskin talk late night on the phone. Three-way, by the way.
Three-way, seven-way. Yeah.
All right.
Good times.
Well,
what do we do?
Okay, I know that that foreskin can be trained a little bit, moved around a little bit. I mean, just like when they put those barrels in the guy's earlobes, and in a year they get it up to a 2-inch piece of sewer pipe in there. Mm-hmm. Can't he work with it a little bit?
They can stretch and work on it, but sometimes that causes more stricturing.
Really?
More narrowing.
Tell him he's got to work with it a little.
If it really bugs him, get a circumcision.
Yeah, but he might as well work with it a little bit first. And Drew, is there anything you can put on it that would help make it more supple?
Not that I'm aware of.
Could it hurt like vitamin E?
It couldn't
or
hurt.
Something like that?
It couldn't hurt.
Tell them that, you know what you can do? A good way to get some vitamin E is just grab that capsule and just bite the tip of it off, and it's real nice.
Yeah.
It smells like fish, but it's nice. Yeah, don't put any on you. It's going to confuse him. But put a little on there and let him work it out. Stretch it out. Right, Drew?
Yeah.
All right, good times.
Get some PVC pipe. And
That's right. Uh-oh. Let me try something.
Yeah.
No? All right. James?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Hi, guys.
What's up?
First of all, I want to say congratulations on the Man Show. The governor of Michigan watches the Man Show.
He does?
Of Michigan?
Uh-huh.
Why?
He was on a radio show the other day or something.
You mean Minnesota?
Yeah.
Not Michigan.
Best show on television.
There he is.
Yeah, there we go. He said that anytime he wants to go for some mindless television, he turns on the Man Show.
Thank you, Jesse Ventura.
Yeah. That's Jesse Ventura. Remember him?
Mm-hmm.
No, he doesn't remember him. Go ahead.
How stoned are our callers? First off, is there a very stoned, Anderson? Is there a more well-known or popular governor than Governor Jesse Ventura?
Yeah, but he's been governor for like... He was in wrestling like 4 years ago, 5 years ago, right? Right? Mm-hmm. He's been governor for 2-3 years.
Well, this
kid was like probably 11 when he was in wrestling.
The point is there's no more popular governor in the United States or maybe in the world, if anyone's in the United States.
Controversial. Not about popular, but controversial.
Well, I mean popular and I should say well-known governor.
Yeah.
And especially to a 16-year-old, you got the state screwed up and you don't got his name right. But all right, James, go ahead.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Well, I'm in counseling right now, and the insurance company is only going to pay for a couple more visits, and my therapist really wants me to like tell my mom what's going on, and I don't know how to do that without
what is going on.
I'm a pedophile.
Somebody sexually abused you when you were a kid?
Yeah.
Who did that?
My aunt.
Oof. Does your mom know about this?
No.
Well, maybe that's what you ought to tell her about.
Her sister?
No, my dad's sister, and my mom divorced him, and that whole side of family is I haven't talked to any of them in like 8 years.
How old were you when this happened?
Probably like 6.
Mm. How old was she?
My mom or the aunt?
The aunt.
I don't know.
Was she like an adult, the older kid?
40 or something like that. Like, I don't remember.
Great. Great.
Yeah. Well, rest assured, something happened to her.
Oh, yeah.
In a huge way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you ever feel bad, like if you ever have anger toward her, or you ever feel like she didn't get her comeuppance or her day in court, or you never got retribution, believe me,
she's living in it.
She had her daddy did something horrible to her for a long time. Mm. Much worse than what she did to you, I would bet.
Okay.
How long did this go on?
A couple months, like 4 or 5.
And now you're into young girls, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And have you acted on that?
Mm-mm.
Good.
No. Okay.
Good man. Why do they want you to tell the mom?
I don't know. She just thinks that I should tell my mom.
Well, I think you ought to follow your therapist's instructions, first of all. Okay, I really do.
Secondly, I'm disturbed that the insurance company, which is, this is unfortunately not an uncommon story when you have a very, very serious problem, they won't cover the necessary treatment. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. I mean, here's somebody that the treatment for which could save not just his hide, but maybe hundreds of others. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But no, I think the insurance companies ought to be held accountable for that.
Well, and then meanwhile, the San Francisco wants some state to pay for the bus driver to get a sex change.
Yeah. Yeah.
Strange, isn't it?
No.
No?
Strange is not the word I'm thinking.
Goddamn attorneys, right, Drew? Ruining the world.
No. I just think the laws aren't in place to protect people, and less than, more effed than strange.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, James, I'm glad you're in treatment. For treatment to work, you got to follow directions. Follow directions.
All right. Natalie?
Mm-hmm.
You're 17?
Mm-hmm.
What's up, princess?
Not much. I've had an eye irritation for about 4 days, 5 days now. And I don't think it's pink eye because I called a pharmacist and she said my symptoms weren't pink eye. And
well, first of all, pink eye just means your eye's red.
Yeah.
That's all it means.
Oh, I thought it was like...
Oh, pink eye can mean 100 different things.
Okay.
So, was your eye red?
Yes.
Oh, your eye was pink. There you go.
Well, yeah, but there's many things that cause that. Yes. When you see kids at school with it.
They're usually talking about conjunctivitis, but people are not, they don't know what they're seeing necessarily.
Okay.
So go ahead, what's the deal?
Well, I thought it was maybe allergies, but at first I was using Marine Tears, and now I'm using this stuff called Navcon A.
Uh-huh.
But, it's starting to help, but I just didn't know if I was taking too much of it or if it's addictive or if...
Not addictive, but...
Or anything.
Not addictive, but you need a diagnosis. You need somebody to look at this and find out what's going on.
And you, like, go to a doctor or something?
Yeah. Both eyes affected?
Yeah. Well, I thought it was just allergies.
Listen, answer the questions. Both eyes affected?
Yes.
Equally?
Well, it's mainly on my left one. It just really depends on the day.
And is it crusted in the morning, can't open your eyes, that kind of thing?
It has been, but not in the past day or two.
It could well be allergies, but you need a diagnosis. And there are steroid drops and things they can use that will make it better much quicker. Navcon is a good product, by the way.
Who the hell knows their pharmacist at 17? I didn't know what a pharmacist was. First pharmacist I ever saw, I was like 31.
Yeah, pharmacists shouldn't be making diagnostic... physicians shouldn't be making diagnosis over the phone. So it's like, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mike?
Yeah.
You're 30?
Yeah, yeah.
What's up?
Listen, I got a two-part question.
Sure.
Pretty serious. I'm a kids party entertainer on the weekend.
Oh, party pals.
We just spent an afternoon with Elmo yesterday. In like 115-degree heat, and that guy in that damn outfit.
Yeah.
I thought I was going to resuscitate him.
Listen, believe me, the guy made $55 for the whole afternoon. And I got chewed out because he didn't spray enough Lysol in Elmo's head before he dropped it off.
And there's always, you know, there's always two kids that want to, like, abuse Elmo. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They want to make fun of everything he says and screw up everything he's trying to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. It's great. So, I'm sorry. What's up?
Yeah, listen. I'm entertaining the party and so.
What's the character you play?
I was playing Spider-Man.
Spider-Man. Okay. Yeah. You do a lot of different ones, too, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You do Wolverine?
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
Yeah,
they keep changing. Yeah, see, I was still, like, with the Ninja Turtles and stuff.
No, this is Wolverine and
You
Spider-Man.
Have to put your head on while you're driving down the street, though, right?
No. It's all the stocking over his head. It's all the Marvel comic guys, right?
No, I'm saying, though, when you're Elmo, you can't come traipsing up the walkway of the house with your head under your arm. Right. You got to put the goddamn smoking. You got to put the head on down the sidewalk
because
the kids are
going to.
That's right. You park down the street and then you put your stupid head on and you walk down the street.
You almost did this, didn't you?
I was this close to being a party pal.
All right.
So anyway.
All right. So to kind of shorten the story, what I ended up finding out that it was an autistic child that one of the children I was working with. Not the person whose birthday it was, but just the sister, the younger sister.
Uh-huh.
She's about 4 years old. The whole time during the party, I guess I don't have a lot of experience with autistic children, and that's why I'm calling. The whole time during the party, she was very sexual in nature. What I mean by that is, I'll give you.
Was she masturbating or something?
Concrete examples.
Hey, was she masturbating or something?
No.
Okay.
It was all toward me. So to a certain extent, like, that's understandable because I'm a comic character and everything like that. But it got scary. I mean, it got to the point that these are the things she was doing. She would hug my leg. She would kiss my hand. During some period of time, I guess while we were, I can't remember what it was, but what the focus was somewhere else. She went up to me, she grabbed my finger, and she squeezed it, and she started rubbing it.
Oh, no, you interpreted this as sexual.
She said, I love you. There's all these things.
Yeah.
Staring at my eyes, rubbing my Spider-Man costume up and down.
Okay. Hey, Mike?
Yeah.
Do you put a couple of tube socks down the front of that thing before you hit the party?
What's that?
The Spider-Man outfit. It's a tight outfit, right?
Yeah.
I put a couple of tube socks down the front there.
All right, man.
Yeah, I know. I'm serious. Just so they don't see the outline of your penis. You ever just that weird thing where you see the guy's penis showing through his thing? Better just have a nice bulge. All right, well, hey, what about, okay. All right, I'm putting him on hold because he's a crazy actor.
Well, autistic and problems, neurologic problems like that, kids are de-repressed. They can be very sexual. They don't have impulse control.
Being retarded is like just being drunk.
Yeah, and they will masturbate and do various things, but this doesn't even sound like that. This sounds more like someone who's just sort of physical and is inappropriate, but I wouldn't just, you know, her behavior needs containment as many autistic kids' behavior does.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you don't, I mean, okay, this may sound harsh, but animals don't care. They see another animal, they start sniffing the other one's butt.
What do dogs come up and do to your leg?
Start humping your leg, they're licking their balls, they're sniffing the other animal's butt.
Right. That's right.
They don't care who's walking it, who's around, anything like that.
Same drill.
Their brain is not quite as developed.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens. Your brain gets more developed, and you start to have these impulses like, hey, look at that great-looking chick. I'm going to grab a handful of boob.
And contain that.
And then you contain it, or then you get drunk and actually do it.
Or, as you're going to find out soon, you hit like 80, 85, you start just doing this stuff.
We start going, screw it.
Yeah. Well, and you lose that part of your brain that's responsible for screening impulses.
Oh, really?
Yeah, as you age.
I think it's just convenience. Like, no. I'm going to be dead.
No, as you age, that part drops out. You think, hey, I want to do that. That's what I do.
But my take would be like, look, I'll grab a boob, but I'll be dead before the trial's over. I'm not going to do any real time. So being autistic is like, there's elements of that. You have to be trained.
Yep.
Oh, boy. And I don't want to argue with Mike. I'm sure there was a...
No, it's all right. He just wants to know information.
But I'm sure she was enamored with him and thought he was Spider-Man and felt affection for him.
Yeah.
Okay. He got a little... He got a little crazy with it, though.
Uh-huh.
Right. He took his party pal thing very seriously, too. Get back to him. Mike?
Yeah?
How much does that pay?
It pays just what you're talking about.
55.
About whatever, with a tip or something like that, you know, in between 30 and 50.
What's going on with the tip, by the way?
Well, sometimes they're not tipping.
They don't tip all the time, right?
No. Sometimes they can be pretty rough.
And now you go pick up the outfit, and then you have like a couple days to drop it off or something.
Yeah.
All right. How's the acting going?
How's the acting going? It's coming around. It's coming around. I do a Shakespeare show, and I'm doing the workshops. You know, the quote casting director workshops and things like that.
Right. Hey, do me a favor.
What's up?
Next time you see any of those casting directors. Tell him Adam Carolla said to kiss his ass. All right.
Hey, listen, I have a second
great
part of
that
question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, listen, but so that's fine. So I overblew what was going on, and then just understand what autistic.
Yeah, yeah.
But if there should happen to be a situation where I recognize, not that I would even have the authority to recognize, but it should have a sense that there's something up with the child. That seems strange or seems like something that would be of sexual of nature that someone else is messing with them.
No, I think you have to see something explicit, and if you right. do, you call Child Protective Services. But to have a hunch, I don't think you're going to get very far with that.
Well, you find out it's the uncle. You shoot a blast of web at him. You tie him to his chair, and then.
Make him confess.
You wait for Commissioner Gordon?
No. Mayor.
Mayor somebody? Who, the editor at the newspaper? didn't Spider-Man work at a newspaper, too? He did? What a ripoff from Batman. I mean, I mean,
yeah.
Superman. Sorry, didn't anyone make a beef about that? I mean, isn't there some sort of copyright infringement or something there? Like, I mean, when that was originally pitched, I got this idea for this guy. You know, he's a superhero. He works at a newspaper. How come no one raised their hand and went, "Hey, wait a minute,
we got one of those."
Yeah, that's what you can't do. That it's a ripoff.
Look at the X Show.
All right. Oh, look at the X Show. Well, good point, Anderson.
Yeah, they came out first, so Mancha ripped that off.
Yeah, I'd like to look at the X Show, but not on. Funny how that works. Something unbelievable about that man format, but somehow it didn't work on the X Show.
Shocking.
Yeah, shocking. Oh, well, we'll be back.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Look, let's talk to this guy who's got the blood in the semen.
All right,
here.
Ready.
It's been been an hour. Guy's been on hold. Dustin?
Hello?
Hey, you're 16.
Yeah, dude.
What's
up, dude? What's up?
What's up, Adam?
Dude.
What's up?
Okay, I got a problem, man.
All right, all right, forget it.
Hello?
Yes, you have blood in your semen?
Yeah.
Every time you masturbate?
No, just like sometimes.
How many times has this happened?
Like three or four.
Three or four times. Have you had anybody? Yeah, I know.
He's got his radio jacked up.
All right, Dustin, it's a pretty simple issue. More often than not, it's nothing, but a doctor does need to look at this just to be doubly sure. I'd be interested to know if there's any blood with the urine also, which is a different implication. Could be stones, could be infection, could be a little burst blood vessel. Could be no big deal.
Any blood with the urine?
A little bit.
All right, that's actually a more serious issue, so you need to see a doctor about that. Blood in the urine is actually more serious than blood in the semen.
Yeah?
Yep.
I know, in the semen, it just cuts to the core of all
men. Yeah, you think that's when you get the airlift, the helicopter out. However, the reality is blood in the urine is the more serious issue.
Mm-hmm. Blood in the stool?
Depends how old you are. You know, it's a sign we look for cancer or precancerous changes. And more often than not in a young person, it's hemorrhoid.
Melissa?
Yes?
You're 20?
Yeah, I was just wondering, my boyfriend has what he claims is a pimple on his penis, like the top of the shaft closer to his lower abdomen.
Would that be the top or the bottom?
That'd be the top.
The top.
Near his abdomen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be the base, wouldn't it?
Well, no. She's talking...
You mean the top surface?
Yeah.
Well, look, there's you know, the bow and the stern.
Yeah.
And then there's the keel and the crow's nest. Of a ship.
And he's talking about
about the crow's nest.
Deck side. Yeah.
Yeah, she's talking about being topside.
Yeah.
Okay.
Deck side at the keel.
Actually, be a pimple after he pops.
Hold on a second. You can't be deck side and at the keel.
I'm sorry. Deck side aft.
Stern.
Yeah, stern is right. Stern is right.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Aft is the rear.
Fore and aft. Stern and.
I thought the bow is the front of the ship.
And what's the back?
The back's the stern, right?
Okay,
and then fore and aft is left and right, right? Oh, for Christ's
sake. Starboard.
Starboard.
And what's fore and aft then?
I thought aft was back.
Starboard and...
Give me that. It's right there. It's right there.
What? The
dictionary.
Okay.
I know it troubles you to me to crack a dictionary, but... All right, let's get back to our caller, huh? Where'd she go?
Where'd she go?
You hung up?
Oh, no, I didn't hang up on her. How dare you? Melissa?
Yeah.
Yeah, the top of the penis... down toward the base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That can be a pimple, actually. So what happens after he breaks it?
He popped it, and he said that some white stuff came out, kind of like pus, and it got bigger to actually an inch in diameter, but it's not red or anything.
I mean
a centimeter.
It's a centimeter now.
Yeah.
It's probably a carbuncle. It's probably like a zit, basically.
Yeah. Why? Do you suspect he's been stepping out on you?
I don't know. He did a long time ago. But he's been pretty faithful, as far as I know, lately, so I was just...
That's quite an endorsement.
Aft, near, toward, or in the stern of a ship or tail of an aircraft.
Aft.
Whatever.
The back.
Yeah.
That's why I hear the aft. All the airplane flying I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what about, so...
It's back. That's what you said.
Oh, you said the aft.
Yeah.
But you said the fore is the front, the aft is the rear, and that's the same as the bow and the stern.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. Okay. All right. Good. All right, keep going. Melissa?
Aft is more of a tail of an aircraft.
That's what I was thinking, more than a ship.
Yeah.
All right, I don't know what we're talking about now. All right.
Listen, it's probably a zit.
Okay, thank you.
All right, good luck. Good times.
He was cheating. she gave this great endorsement where, well, he cheated once, but I don't think he's cheating as much as he used to, as far as I know.
She should just be concerned for her exposure to that, both in terms of her mental health and her physical health.
Right. Angie.
Hi.
What's up?
Well, I have a question for you guys. What do you think about, I'm in a relationship, and he constantly is questioning me. He's controlling. And I wanted to know if you think that's projection,
yeah,
or you think it could be insecurity.
Well, you mean you're wondering if he's the cheater?
If he's, right. Wow. If he's projecting his guilt or whatever that might be.
Well,
it depends what kind of guy he is.
Yeah.
If he's an aggressive guy, he's cheating. If he's just an insecure guy, he's not.
Either way, it's the same thing. It's the same phenomenon.
Yeah, but she wants to know whether he's cheating or not.
All right.
And I'm saying if this guy's wearing a gold chain, driving a sports car, and a little bit aggressive, he's cheating.
Uh-huh.
If not, he's just paranoid and insecure.
Which guy is he? Excuse me?
Try it again.
All right. We've got a break. Which guy is he?
We got a break.
You have to go to break.
We'll be right back.
Is he the aggressive guy or is he the wimp?
He is aggressive as far as business goes, but he's not flashy as far as gold chain, but he does have a Rolex.
Yeah.
We've been together a long time. We have a child.
All right. Hold on. He's got a Rolex. I don't trust a Rolex guy. I'll get to the bottom of this guy when we come back.
Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
Yep, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I know I've spoken about this before, Drew, but I'm really thinking, and I'd like all our listeners to join in, and you too, possibly, into a class action lawsuit against the manufacturers of sweatpants and hip cargo-type pants.
For?
Well, you know these, I got a few pairs. I got a pair from that Adidas makes.
Mm-hmm.
They're these sort of all-terrain, all-pocket pants now.
Yeah.
They got the little drawstring at the bottom cuff.
Right.
Where the ankle is, and they're made out of this sort of, it's this sort of slippery material, can get wet, and you can wear it dry or whatever. I don't know what it is, but the point is it's greasy. I mean, it's slippery. You don't know what I'm talking about?
You slide out of your chair or something?
Yeah, no, it's not like a cotton, it's not like cotton pants.
Yeah.
It's made out of, you know the pants I'm talking about, everyone's wearing now?
What's the suit about?
You put a handful of keys, handful of change, some vitamins, a wallet, and a cell phone.
Yeah, everything falls out.
You jump in the back of a cab, get out, it's gone.
Yeah.
I left a bowel movement in a cab in Vegas. Yeah. It slid out. This thing was so slippery.
Oof.
No, I
but also the pockets are like this deep and angled back.
Pockets are at a bad angle. Yeah. Sometimes they have a little flap that goes over it, but it's just a little flap. It's no way to really seal it up.
Yeah.
And you hop into these. Now, they're great when you're traveling. Like I said, I went to Vegas. I brought nothing, by the way.
Mm.
Something very cool, very liberating about checking onto an airplane and Burbank.
Nothing.
The woman behind the counter says, have you had all articles and baggage within your sight? And I said, I don't have any. This is it. I wore the same shirt and the same pants there as I wore back this morning at 6:30 in the morning. But the point is the cell phone was in the back of the cab when I got out of the cab because everything just goes flying out of the pockets. Mm-hmm. And then I called it and some woman answered. It was great. And it's always that movie woman, you know, the woman in her 50s. You know, my phone's ringing in the back of this Vegas cab. And she picks it up after about 8 rings. She's a little confused. Hello? Hi. It's always that weird, you got to get started, too. Hi, is this my phone? Well, I don't know. Well, I mean, no, let me start again. The phone, this is not your phone. No, it is not. It was ringing. It's next to you. Are you in a cab right now? Well, yes, I am. Well, this is my phone. Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Oh, that's all right. Where are you heading? I'm going to a wedding. That wedding's not at the Mandalay Bay, is it? No, it's not. Oh.
Give me the cabbie.
No.
No, you didn't say that?
No, she was like, well, if you want, she was going to a hotel. I can take the hotel. I'll take it with me, the hotel, and drop it off at the concierge. Yeah,
that's smart.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Let's do that.
That's nice.
As it never picked it up.
It's still there.
Still in Vegas.
Call the hotel that mails here.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Yeah. Who pays for the mailing?
You.
How do they know?
COD, care and undelivered.
Really?
Yeah.
All right. I could go for that. I told her, listen, thanks. You want to make a phone call, go ahead. I mean, just one. You know what I mean?
Now though, I'm just thinking, how are you going to get that away from the concierge? We need a positive ID. You'll have to come down here and identify the phone.
I can just I can just see it now as I tell him to turn the phone on and I scroll through the first 13 names that are on the pre-dial.
Yeah.
It's not good enough.
Right.
Kind of thing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. You might have seen this phone somewhere before.
Right, right, right. Meanwhile, it's been there for 2 days and no one said anything. Right. Who else would know the phone is there?
Yeah. However, they're going to have to dig it out of some pile of phones, probably.
Oh, my God. All I'm saying is in the last couple years, 3-4 years, the sweatpants, the parachute pants, these all-terrain pants have been all the rage with the big baggy pockets. Everyone's got the cell phones and the pagers and what have you now. I bet lost wallets, lost cell phones, and lost keys are up 85%. I really do. They got to be spilling out all over the place. Every night, I wear sweatpants to this show, and every night I stand up when we're done and I look down underneath me and collect my keys and whatever else spilled out onto the floor.
Right. I feel
you
your pain.
You want to join my lawsuit?
I feel your pain, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. Angie?
Yes.
You're 23.
Yes.
What's up?
Well, I guess we left off.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The guy. That's right.
The guy. And
He's constantly,
one of two.
Yeah. Well, let me reset here. He's constantly...
He's jealous, controlling, all over.
Giving you the fifth degree about...
Oh, interrogations, the whole bit, yeah.
Yeah, there's all kinds of versions of this in reality.
None of it's good.
Right. None of it's good, but I think that I could deal with working through insecurity issues rather than someone who likes to sleep around.
Have you ever done anything to lead him to believe that you were stepping out on him?
No, absolutely not. But when we first met, he asked about my past, my different partners and things like that. Yeah. And I was completely honest. Oh. It's not like I was...
Big mistake.
Yeah.
But I wasn't, a whore or anything like that.
So that all comes... He brings that up now all the time, right?
He doesn't bring it up, but he says that because of that, it bothered him. And I don't... It's hard for me to believe that he is stepping out on me because...
Hang on. Angie, hold on a second. This is one of these guys that somebody needs to just go, hey, cut it out.
Yeah.
You like me. We have a relationship. You cut this crap out, I'm out of here.
Right.
That's it. Cut it out.
Well,
and you know what?
And I left, and he agreed to go to counseling because we do have a child.
Mm. What did you say to him exactly?
When I left?
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just like all of a sudden... Every time we would get in an argument, because he's extremely explosive and would be like walking on eggshells living with him.
No. This is a much, much more serious global issue than him being jealous or obsessing about your previous exploits.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
He's got an anger management problem.
He's got some stuff.
Guy.
He has got some personality, some stuff going on here. Is he an addict?
Definitely.
Is he an alcoholic?
He is an alcoholic.
Yeah, okay. So, you know, that first and foremost needs to be dealt with. And you're wasting your time. You need to go to some Al-Anon. Angie,
yeah.
I just sort of ring through with codependency here. You got to get a sponsor, work the steps, and all of a sudden, all this stuff you're obsessing about will magically not seem so important.
Yeah,
really?
Yes. Listen, on behalf of your child, for Christ's sake.
And the only chance you have...
I started counseling for myself.
Well, go to Al-Anon.
I agreed to go with. And,
No. You take care of yourself. If you go to Al-Anon, you get counseling. That's the only hope you have of him making change. Yes, my righteous indignation is back. Thank you. And if you are successful in making some progress and growing, he will feel like you're sort of out of his grips. And that's really when he's going to freak out, when you see this emptiness for what it is, this straw dog.
And, I'm afraid because he's already freaking out.
Hey, look, that's when he's going to do something because he knows he has to, because you, in fact, will not put up with this anymore and you will leave. And that's when he has a chance of getting better. In the meantime, do not worry about him. Worry about yourself.
And your kid.
Right, definitely.
What's this guy? What's this? Hold on. Is this guy in sales or real estate?
Oh,
How did you guess? You're so good.
What is it?
Both.
He's in sales. He's the owner of his own company, and he's extremely aggressive, extremely competitive.
Yeah.
He makes a good living, but he's emotionally inept.
He's an alcoholic. Look, he's an alcoholic, and that needs to be dealt with. And you're a raging codependent, we call that, and you need to deal with that. That might wake him up.
Yeah, and please, on behalf of the kid, and on my behalf, so I don't have to deal with the outcome of this kid who's a mess growing up. Oh, do I hate these salesmen. They all have something wrong with them. Listen, ladies, listen to me. If you start dating a guy and he's in some form of sales, run the other way.
Oh, come on now.
Run the other way.
That's unfair.
All dicks. They're really idiots. Listen, have you met a guy who's in sales that had an actual ounce of his own personality?
Yes.
No, you have not.
Yes, I have.
No, you know, you've met a very good salesman who's led you to believe he's not a colossal prick. They're all just the worst guys in the world. Horrible personalities. Lack of chameleon personalities. They're just they're horrible guys. The Rolex. Oh, they got a nice pinky ring and an Italian horn chain. Talking. Kissing ass all the time. Just look, stay away from those guys. Salesmen, agents, attorneys. I'm going to print a list. Publicists. I'll print a list of guys to stay away from, ladies. The problem is because these guys all have the same BS gene, you're most attracted to these idiots. Because not only can they sell a car, they sell themselves.
How about a woman that has those jobs?
They're bad, too. Stay out of there. Not as bad as the guys.
Same problem? Same issue?
Yeah, but they don't, because they don't have the testosterone mixed in with it, and the sort of more sort of genetic aggressive hand, they're not quite as bad, but they're pieces of work, too. You got from female agents, female publicists, female attorneys, female sales, they're all a mess. Stay out of there, everybody. Don't date those people. Punish them. They need to be punished. Don't get all agents and managers and attorneys and publicists and salesmen. They should just not get laid. Straighten
oh
them out.
God.
Smoke them out.
Oh my God.
They're a-holes, all of them.
Relax.
They do nothing.
Relax.
Please,
Alan.
Look in the mirror, you people.
Alan.
Yes.
Thank you.
What's going on?
Thanks for getting me on.
Yeah. Anyway. In the midst of that tirade.
I'll
go ahead.
Show.
Yeah. What's up?
I'm concerned about the structure of the cartilage in my nose from doing blow.
Mm-hmm.
The right nostril, I haven't been able to sniff through the right nostril very well for like a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if it'll go back to where it was before.
Well, it depends.
What does coke do to that cartilage?
Well, originally cocaine was designed as something that you could put on the surface of, say, the nose, and cause that area to be anesthetized.
Right.
Not only would it numb the area, but it would also constrict the blood vessels and control bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was sort of the perfect local anesthetic. You'd have no bleeding, no feeling. And now when you sniff the cocaine into your nose, it still does the same thing in terms of constricting blood vessels, and it constricts them so profoundly that the blood gets cut off to the cartilage and the cartilage just dissolves. And so you can get the septum between, you know, the two nostrils completely dissolves.
Yeah, I've said that before, though. What do you need that for?
And
why not just have one big nostril?
And you basically eat away parts of the sinuses.
All right.
It's a big mass. It's a huge mass.
What about speed? What's that do to your nose?
It doesn't do that because it doesn't have those vasoconstrictive properties. It's caustic. It irritates the hell out of them, causes bleeding, but it doesn't cause that same problem. It causes sinusitis, too.
But does it regenerate?
No.
Not at all?
No. Well,
so if I can't breathe out of my right nostril, because like, it seems like it's caved into the right nostril.
Well,
my right nostril.
Who knows what's going on? You know, you don't know. Most of the time when somebody's doing a lot of blow, you look in there, you can't tell what's going on because there's all kinds of crap caked in there.
Yeah.
You need to see your nose and throat doctor and let them figure this out and try to treat it.
Okay.
The whole sinus could be completely occluded. It can be a big, big mess.
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't done it in like 7 months, so.
Well, it might need some operative.
I told you you should have shot it or smoked it, Alan, but you wouldn't listen, would you?
That's
smart
right.
Guy. How long did you do coke?
Off and on, like maybe weekly for once or twice a week for like a year.
Yeah, that's it, huh?
Yeah, nothing too habitual.
And you're away from it now, huh?
I'm away from it now. I haven't for like 7 months, but I expected to go back to breathing, but like I can't. It feels like I'm stuffed up all the time in the right nostril.
Needs to be checked out.
All right, ear, nose, and throat guy. Yep. And a lot of these guys have all seen coke damage by now,
right? Oh, yeah. course.
Yeah, so they're experts, right?
And he actually, Alan, I don't believe he's an addict. I think he's just an abuser.
Right, yeah, so. I believe it. All right, let's speak to Johan, who's 16. Johan? Johan?
Yeah.
All right, what's up?
Not much, Adam.
All right, what's up? Are you depressed?
Huh?
Okay, I'm going to hang up on you in a second, all right?
Oh, sorry.
All right, start talking.
Okay. Not much. I'm just kind of seriously whipped, that's all.
Well, you're like so depressed, you're like disconnected from reality here.
What?
See?
All right, hang on, Johan.
Okay.
All right. Just let him stew a little longer, screwball. Anthony?
Yeah?
You're 25, what's up?
Well, for probably about 9 months now, my semen's been getting thicker as when I ejaculate. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if that's a sign of a STD or...
No, it's nothing.
It's nothing?
Nothing. Probably means you're masturbating less.
What's that?
Are you masturbating less than you were a month ago?
No, probably more.
More?
Hmm.
Are you on medication?
No, none.
Don't do any steroids or anything like that?
No, I did drugs for a while.
What drugs?
Pretty much everything. Ecstasy, speed, GHB, K.
Well, GHB, interesting.
What about fluid in general and being hydrated? That kind of thing.
That could help.
I'm sorry?
You have no history of steroid use, though, huh?
No.
Okay. Well, when you were using drugs, you may not have been producing as much semen. I mean, your body is disturbed by all that.
Well, when I was doing drugs, it was fine. And then after I went off, after I stopped, I haven't done drugs in a while.
No, what I'm saying is it wasn't fine then. Now it's fine. This is now your normal state. Before was in the altered state.
Oh, really?
Look, it's better this way because you can flick it off your belly before you step into the shower.
Doesn't look too attractive. That's just... but it was really thick and kind of clunky, so that's nothing that I should be worried about.
No.
Okay. You're fine. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you. You know, you get you get your belly covered with hair like mine, and it's a mess.
Shag carpet with grape with peanut butter on it.
If you dusted my area, you could find probably semen from
12 years ago.
87, 88.
Yeah, I'm sure of it.
Easily.
Yeah.
There's just no way it's all coming out. You soap up, but yeah.
Hmm.
No.
Nice.
Yeah, it really gets worked into the fiber. Mark?
Oh.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right.
Hey, you guys, we got to have callers. Hey.
Mark, start speaking up.
Callers must be able to speak, talk.
All right.
Go ahead.
My question is, I've been having white, flaky pubic hairs.
White, flaky?
Yeah.
What do you mean by flaky?
Well, they're like, I can touch them and they'll flake off in my hand.
I used to work at the flaky wiener.
Dicky.
That's Dicky. They'll flake off in your hand, so they'll fall out.
Yeah, I can pull them out by 10 or 20.
And you have quite a few of these.
Yes.
And the skin's normal from which they're coming out of?
Yeah. It's mostly right under the base of my penis and right at the bottom of my scrotum.
You pull hair out of your scrotum?
Yeah.
Why are you pulling them out?
Because I don't want them there if they're mutated or something.
What about this, Drew?
I can't quite visualize. Now, listen. Do you have a digital camera?
No.
Oh, damn it. Well,
you want to see a picture of it?
Yes.
That's never going to happen.
You're gay.
True. What about this? I think I've had a gray pube before.
Yeah, sure.
But it wasn't falling out.
But he's got patches of them that fall off.
What would cause that on someone's head?
Seborrhea. I mean, some sort of skin problem.
And that's what would. So what should he do? Dermatologist.
A dermatologist. I cannot visualize what he's describing.
Yeah.
By the way, anybody wants to send digital images, I think that's the new level that a Loveline will come to now.
Are you kidding?
No. Everyone has a digital camera. Everyone has email access. Give me a digital image. Email it to here at the Loveline website, and I'll look at stuff.
Drew, we can't get goddamn paper for the fax machine.
But we've
here.
Got an
you
email
You think you're going to pull that off?
Yes, I do.
Really?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. Because otherwise, the rash thing, all the people describing stuff on the surface of their body, forget it.
Right.
They get nothing.
Rick?
Yes?
Well, maybe if you're a better doctor. No, Rick, you're 17.
Yeah.
Kiss my ass.
What is up?
Oh, yeah. My best friend's girlfriend has been leading me on sexually. And, well, she's been, like, I've been going to her house with a couple of friends, you know, just to hang around. But what's it called? You know, she's been leading me on, like, and I found out that she's bi. And,
hey, what do you mean, leading you on?
Well, she's been, constantly,
flirting.
Flirting with you.
Oh, yeah, like, she's been squeezing, you know.
But she's a little troubled, right?
I really don't know about that.
You don't know what troubled is?
I don't know. What do you mean by that?
Well, she,
chaos.
She's chaotic, her life. It's not, she's a bad girl.
Oh, not really.
No?
No.
Okay. Maybe you're just a bad guy and you don't notice it, but this is your best friend's girl?
Yes.
All right, so why are you even thinking about it?
Oh, I'm not. She's the one that's been leading me on, but I guess I've been starting to like it.
You do like it?
Yes, to a certain point, yes.
Right, sure. Uh-huh. It's flattering to have some attention, but you're not going to do anything about it because it's your best friend's girl, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, why would you even think about it?
Well, listen, he's a lonely guy, 17. She's cute. Yeah, she's coming on to him.
He's sort of...
But he's desperate. He doesn't have a girl of his own.
Yeah, but he shouldn't be, you know, putting himself in circumstances where something could happen. He's going to her house. He's, you know,
right.
letting this go further than it should.
Oh, yeah,
Rick,
and...
yeah.
Like, when we've been there, like, without her, my friend, you know, other people been around. She's been, you know, constantly asking if we want to have orgies or, you know.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Stay away. Stay away, unless you want to lose your friend.
Like, the most people, like...
Hey, cut it out. Just stay away. You're going to lose your friend.
And she's chaos. She's trouble.
And he's going to learn soon enough what she's about, and you don't want to be a part of that. You want him blaming you for how she is.
You tell your friend to wear a condom, too. You don't want to get this one pregnant.
Or get anything from her.
Right, because she's out of control. And Rick is one handy away from not thinking about this girl anymore.
Less than a handy. Like one Mickey's big mouth. From not thinking about his friend anymore.
Well, what I'm
one handy from someone else.
No, he needs a handy from somebody else.
I see, okay.
Well, I've been there where Rick is, which is you have no female in your life. Mm-hmm. Nobody likes you. You don't meet anybody. You can't go out and score. You've now made
contact.
The list of women who you could actually talk to, phone up, hang out with is so short.
One person.
That anybody who gets on this list outside of the family, and sometimes even inside the family, you're attracted to, right?
Yeah.
You remember those days?
Yeah, neighbors, whatever.
Just, you know, so it'd be like, yeah, my sister's best friend and my best friend's girlfriend, I like them both.
Mm-hmm.
They hang out. They know my name. They talk to me. They come over. They're nice to me. They give me a hug when they come and go. So I'm into both of them. Why? Because
proximity.
There's nobody else. Mm. I don't have a girlfriend, and no one at school likes me.
Oof.
So that's Rick needs to do that, and they always mistake it.
Yeah.
I mean, here's the deal.
Well, this one, he might be maybe stirring up some problem.
But as a 17-year-old guy, you got some love to give.
Yeah.
And
excess.
And if you don't have a girlfriend or a couple of chicks you're dating from school or whatever, then your stepsister's going to get it, or your best friend's girlfriend, or the dog, or the beanbag chair. Whoever's around is going to get that love. Or the sheep. All right, let's take ourselves a break, Drew. What do you say?
Yeah, I do. Please.
We'll be back.
Hello? Is this Loveline?
Call 1-800-LOVE-191. Adam and Dr. Drew will be right back.
I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's talk to Sarah, who's 23. Sarah?
Hi.
Hey.
How are you?
Good. What's up?
Oh, I'm kind of having some problems, and I was just hoping you could help me out.
All right. Uh-oh. What's up with the phone? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from work.
Okay. What do you do?
I work at a porn store.
It's great. What do you what's the big seller there at the porn store?
Oh, probably videos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've actually been listening to your show, and the guy who had the thing about the videos,
mm-hmm.
It's actually true.
People return videos with schmutz on them.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's pretty gross.
More with the gay porn than with the straight porn, or does it matter?
More with the straight porn, surprisingly.
More with the straight.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised. The gays are a little more fastidious and tend to clean things a little better, right?
Yeah, they're more prissy, actually.
Nice.
They're prissier. Really?
All right. What's your question, Sarah?
Okay, I just got into a relationship with a guy. He's 2 years younger than me. And he hadn't had sex in 4 years until I came along. And we finally started to have sex, and everything's going really good, and he's got an erection and everything.
Oh, and everything.
Ooh, great.
But there's a problem.
You really struck gold with this 19-year-old.
And everything.
Erection and everything.
There's a problem, though. Mm-hmm. Every time we try to put the condom on, he can't sustain his erection. He just goes limp.
Falls off.
He needs to train, Adam.
Yes. How old is he?
21. He's
22.
23. Mm-hmm. Didn't have sex for 4 years. So he lost his virginity and then had a long dry spell?
Yeah, something like that. I think the girl before me kind of ruined him.
Right. So his erection is fine, everything looks great, and then he puts the condom on, and as he's putting it on, he has a little too much time to think, and he freaks, right?
Yeah.
Okay, here's what you need to do. You have access to a lot of condoms where you work, right?
Yeah.
Why don't you take home a handful of those, throw it to him, tell him to practice beating off, and then stopping and putting the condom on in the middle of it, and then finishing himself off with the condom on.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's how I masturbate on airplanes, by the way.
So, oh, really?
Yes. Yeah,
so no muss?
Yeah, no muss. Right. No fuss, oh, right.
Interesting.
I don't want to excuse myself to the bathroom. I'm in first class.
Oh, you just stay right there in the chair.
Well, I feel like, hey, $4,200 in New York? Sure, I could beat something off right here.
Sure.
All right, but the point is, I don't want to make a mess. I got to get off the plane. I'm on the run.
And you don't want to lose that erection.
I'm wearing my best sweatpants. Yeah. Right. All right, so Sarah, do that and tell them to start getting used to that. It'll work.
Oh.
Did you hear my advice?
Yeah. When he goes limp, I've given him fellatio.
Sure.
And he goes erect again, but then I'll try to put the condom on again, and he still goes limp.
She's not listening to you. She's not listening.
No, I think, let me get her to, Sarah?
Yeah.
So just tell him what I told you to do, which is what?
To beat off.
No.
To beat off.
Mm. Nobody's listening.
Sarah?
Yes?
First, you're 23. You're working at a porn store. What went wrong? What happened, baby?
Oh, I needed a job.
I see.
All right. Yeah.
But, you know, part of being stupid is not only doing stupid things, but it's ignoring advice from people who aren't stupid, like myself. You see what I'm saying, Sarah?
Yeah.
Now, I told you what to do.
And you didn't hear any of it.
You didn't hear any of it, did you?
I did.
Well, what should you do then?
Just hand him a thing full of condoms and just kind of hope for the best.
Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
How could she have gotten that from what you said?
Hey, Drew.
That's incredible.
Look.
That is incredible to me.
Drew, I say this every week, and I know it doesn't win me any fans, but some people are stupid. Listen, you know how some people are smart?
Yeah.
We all understand that concept. Let's just focus on... forget about stupid and smart. You know some guys are good athletes?
Right.
How do you know they're good athletes?
They perform well.
Right. But does everyone perform well?
No.
Is everyone captain of the football team and the varsity track and all... No. Is everyone, Ken Griffey Jr. and Mark McGuire? No. Why not? There's a relative thing. There's all the guys who suck. We understand that concept. Same in the brains department. Sarah's 23. She's peddling dildos for a living. She's not a smart person. And she doesn't... Part of being dumb is not listening that well.
That not listening piece is phenomenal to me.
Okay, but she is working at a store.
It's one thing if you were trying to describe how to solve the Schrodinger equation to her and she couldn't get it.
Right.
But not understanding a couple of basic sentences, not hearing.
To be...
Basic instruction.
To be fair, Somebody could have, you know, went in and tried to buy, you know, the Badger or the Widowmaker or something like that. Some big dildo. She could have been distracted with a big sale.
All right, so give it to her now.
Bring the condoms to him. Tell him to practice putting the condoms on.
By himself.
By himself.
Drilling.
While he's masturbating.
Right.
So that his penis can actually get used to it.
So he can get used to putting the condom on without losing the erection alone.
Right.
And finishing.
Right.
And then he can get to the point where he's doing that with you present.
I'm telling you, as a society, we stress this for everything. We want our students to study and rehearse. We want musical instruments, constant rehearsal. Whatever you want to be in life, whether it's an airplane pilot or attorney or physician, it's all rehearse, rehearse, work, repetitive, repetitive, repetitive stuff, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Why does no one bring this up with the condom in the erection? So put them on while they're hard. Get your penis used to it.
Put them on while they're hard.
Get them while they're hard.
There you go.
Martin?
Hey, what's up?
You're 19.
First time caller. Just want to say I like you guys' show.
Thanks.
Just a question for you, Adam. Why you got to rip on salespeople?
No, they're horrible. That's why.
Salespeople aren't horrible.
Yes, yes. Now, look, I'm not talking about this schmuck who stands behind the register at the bookstore. That's not a sales guy.
Well, I sell computers.
Yeah.
I work at a major electronics chain.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not like I'm selling cars, you know.
Yeah, I know. You guys are pretty bad. You guys are bad. You guys are the guys who push the warranty.
No, we just offer it.
You offer it. No, you push that warranty pretty good, right?
No, just offer it. If customer says no, then no big deal.
All right. Well.
And
you're not going to last in this business.
What about the community college?
Oh, yeah. Community college and sales. That's two strikes right there. That's horrible. But look, if you're using the community college to try to get out of sales, I'll accept it.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Condition,
temporarily.
A condition
temporarily.
For community college.
And I got to tell you this. When I'm in charge of the junior college program in the United States, I will clean house every 3 years.
No one's allowed to stay longer than 3 years.
That's right. I will walk up and down the corridors and go, look, old timer, I saw you playing hacky sack when you were 15 in these halls. Now I see you in here with your kids driving a minivan. Get the hell out of here. Clear out. That's what I'm going to do. Clear out. You got 3 years to get a two-year education. That's fine. That's like having 6 years to get a four-year. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. You figure Martin's not a salesman.
All right.
Not
anyway.
Hard, right?
Right.
You figure Martin's not a true salesman.
I don't know. I don't know.
Those people, you know, lie through their teeth like everybody thinks.
I mean, oh.
Some people are there, you know. Some people just come in and know what they want. They want to buy it. We just ring it up.
All right. But again, I would argue that is not really a salesman. Yeah, it's a sort of sales clerk.
But then also there's the people that don't know what they want. We got to spend an hour, help them out, find what they need. Mm-hmm. Also, too, you know, there's somebody that...
All right, Martin, you make a very compelling yet boring case. Let me amend what I was saying. When I was talking about sales, guys who sell stuff, I'm not talking about the 19-year-old who works at the Good Guys who stands by the, you know, Yamaha cassette players and the VCR and just stands there and basically points stuff out. No commission and no nothing. It's like if I'm working for Greenpeace and I'm some vegan and I got a problem with the kid who works at McDonald's.
Right.
That's not who my... He's just working there. He's trying to make his nut
right,
so he can go on to something else. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the career guy.
The professional salesman.
The guy's been selling cars for 25 years. That guy. You know the guy I'm talking about. Not the 19-year-old who stands around the computer. And by the way, if they could get rid of you guys, they would. And they're this close to doing it.
Salesman.
You know what I mean? That's not really a salesman. You're not cut in for a taste.
Right.
All right. Anyway, he makes a horrible point because he has nothing. He's not who I was talking about. All right, let's talk to Gigi.
Hey, what's going on?
And couldn't have been a salesman because of his boring affect. He had no personality. Go ahead, Gigi.
Hi, Adam. I think your wit is absolutely genuine.
Mm.
You're like a Simpsons character, but anyway.
Whoa.
I just want to know about sex addiction, because last week, Drew, you told the rest of the world that 75% of addicts recovering or out mm-hmm. there using are sex addicts. Mm-hmm. So I want to know a brief, vague description of what it is, because I want to know.
A brief, vague description?
Yeah.
That...
For a recovering person.
Well, a recovering person... A recovering person who's still engaging in destructive relationships is not in recovery.
Okay.
That somebody whose recovery has got a problem with it.
Okay.
And that may or may not be sexual addiction, but I guarantee you that person is not following the input of their sponsor or their peers.
Right.
Because I'm sure the peers, anyone that is not following direction is not in a good recovery.
Mm-hmm.
Period. If somebody's out there, this sponsor says, hey, that guy, do not get involved in a relationship for 1 year, and you go out and do it anyway, that's a relapse. You may not be using drugs yet, but it's just a matter of time before you will be. That's the nature of recovery.
I see that, but...
And if they're compulsive and they're having multiple sexual partners,
right.
And they're really going after the reward activation just as they would be with a drug... And if they have a biology of addiction, if they've been particularly, if they have evidence of addicted to other chemicals, and now you sprinkle in some sort of abuse, physical or sexual abuse, you get a sex addict. That's the recipe for that.
Because Anderson just thought I was naive, but yeah, my sister exhibits all those signs. So
all right, but the most important thing here, though, she's supposed to be in recovery.
Well, she is in recovery.
No, she isn't, because she's not following the direction of her sponsor.
No, I don't see that, because, you know, if it's a separate issue, but it's still an issue. But
is she following the direction of her sponsor?
Yeah. Well, I don't know, but this is like her, she lies and she...
All right, that's not recovery.
Right.
That is not recovery. Lying is not recovery. It's an honest program of recovery. You're as sick as your secrets and your lies. That's it. That's not recovery. That's somebody who's struggling with their disease, but not in recovery.
Hey, Gigi.
Yeah?
You're 17?
Uh-huh.
How old's your sister?
32.
Why don't you cut her loose?
Cut her? No, I'm not. I'm not. I just want to know what is wrong with her,
She's an addict.
But why don't you... I understand you worrying about her.
She's an addict. No, she's a sex addict. And it's like, anywhere I go with her, she's, you know, wanting to screw someone. So it's like... I need to learn how to deal with that.
You need to go to Al-Anon. You go to some kind of codependency recovery.
Why?
No. It's not the addiction part. It's just like, you know, all of a sudden she's a sex addict. So I just wanted to know if that's
Gigi,
what she was.
Gigi, now you're not listening to direction. I deal with these people. Listen to me.
Yeah.
I deal with these
starting
people.
Starting to worry for Gigi.
I know. Yeah. I deal with these people every day, and I'm telling you, you as a 17-year-old are not going to be able to manage anything with her.
No, I'm not trying to.
Listen to me.
Ooh.
You need to go to some form of codependency recovery, some sort of ongoing support for yourself. I told you the righteous indignation was coming back.
Yeah.
And
okay, that's already in the picture.
And if you want to get her to some treatment, Delamo down in Torrance has a good sexual addiction treatment program.
Yeah.
Why is that funny? Right.
Hey, Gigi.
Yeah.
Listen, don't call this show and not listen and laugh and throw your attitude around.
I'm not throwing attitude.
Yes, you are. You don't even know it.
Adam, don't date salespeople. And you're the man of all men. Listen to you.
Wait. Hey, screwball.
Hey, screwball.
Have fun with your sister, would you?
Adam.
Have a good time. Idiot. Might have used the F word there.
Yeah, I guess you did.
No. All right. Listen, these people are starting to piss me off, Drew. I really mean it. I've had enough of them. I know. I feel sorry for Gigi, because wherever her sister came from,
she came from that, too.
And I know she feels like she's got to take care of her sister. But she's 17. Her sister's 32. Let her... Steer her to some help and then go do her own thing. But Gigi's angry.
The two different pieces of advice that were specific, she becomes hostile and laughs at.
Right.
You go to a blind, you get her to Del Amo.
Yeah, right.
Well, what the hell else are you going to do?
Oh, look. As I've said many a time, I would like to help everybody, and there are people who are calling the show who want help, and then there are those who don't. And my thing is if you don't call. That's fine. I wish you the best of luck.
By the way, if things were easy and simple, you'd already do it yourself. And if it wasn't difficult and hard and confusing,
right.
You wouldn't need direction.
Right. All right. We'll take a break. I'll see if I can say the F word again.
I like that.
We'll be back.
Unacceptable.
Love Line, everybody. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Going to get back to the phones, solve some problems. Let me tell you a little something that happened to me today, Drew.
What? Yeah. This is in Vegas, or?
Well, I took a, as I said at the top of the show, I flew out to Vegas last night about 7:30 in the evening, and then I flew home this morning at 6:30 in the morning. Just stayed up all night. Basically stayed up 24 hours. I had a good time. How dare you, Anderson? Had the guy in the flew Southwest.
Of course.
So, you know, it's no assigned seating.
Right.
Traveling with two buddies, so there's three of us.
Right.
The plane's about 85% full each time, which is good. It's usually 110% full.
Right.
And each time got onto the plane, happened going to Vegas and coming back. One time was a lady, looked like she was in her mid-40s. She was just alone in an aisle of three. Now, I'm not exaggerating at all, had not sat down, was walking in front of me down the aisle, got to a vacant aisle of three things, stopped, started to step into the aisle, had not sat down, and I said, excuse me, miss, there's an open chair on the other side of the aisle. Not. There wasn't even a guy there. It was just an open chair. I said, I have my two buddies. There's three of us here. Would you mind taking this seat so we can sit together? And she did one of the things that I can't stand, which is she gave me the, that thing. Like, I don't mind the guy who says no.
Yeah.
And I don't mind the guy who says, sure, buddy. I'll let you do it, but I'm going to let you know that this is really some pain, and I have some drama I got to live out with you that's meant for other people, but you're going to get some too.
You feel like just saying, hey.
No, you know what I say to those people all the time, and they always, I think they get embarrassed by it. I say to them, especially if they're smaller than I am, I say, hey, is it a problem? No problem. You know, and I'll stop them again. I'll go, hey, listen, if it's a problem, just tell me. Tell me what the problem is. No, forget it. Have your seat.
Yeah.
You know, it's that thing. It's like, I've once again been victimized. Yeah. That's basically their cry.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, no different than sitting in an aisle between two people you don't know, or sitting in a chair between two people you don't know, and sitting on the other side of the aisle between two people you don't know. She was traveling alone on a, you know, crowded plane to Vegas for 45 minutes. But no. And flying back, exact same thing. Same scenario. Got on the plane.
Female or male?
Male. Usually the middle-aged chick fit the criteria for this. This is a semi-younger guy, like early 20s, just like a regular guy. Same thing. Sir, you hadn't sat down yet. Had not sat down. I said, do you mind, before you sit down, can we take these? I got three of
But they,
you know, that's what it was.
People come back from Vegas, as most of them are hungover and are on speed or something. You know what I mean? They're
irritable
already.
I'll give them coming back. But two of those. And listen, folks, I understand you got your problems. Keep them to yourself, please. Or don't do it.
Don't do what?
Chicken ass. Don't move. Just go, no, I'm going to be an a-hole and sit here. Yeah. But don't give the, like, somehow, what am I going to do? Send you over some flowers? I really feel crushed. Then I had another great thing.
Uh-oh.
I PO'd the flight attendant at Southwest. Because they're not real friendly. I mean, they're okay friendly, but let's face it, it's really the train to Krakow over there is what that is. It's not a flight.
Right.
And I understand this, everybody, because here's the deal. It used to be only a certain percentage of people could fly.
Right.
And that's because it was expensive, and only, you know, the top 10% of the country, of the nation, could fly. This is many years ago. Now, you can fly. You can hop on a Priceline on your computer and get a round-trip ticket to Chicago for $189. And you're wondering why the guy sitting behind you is wearing the cut-off sweatpants and scratching his crotch the whole time. And has a bad BO.
Right.
Because now everyone can do it.
Right.
This is what happens.
Right.
Now, I'm fine with that concept. But now, because of this, the flight attendants have an ass full of this.
Yes.
They usually were dealing with guys wearing, like, ascots and bow ties and wearing a blazer to go fly 25 years ago. And now they got the guy with the cut-off sweatpants and the King's jersey.
Right.
Who's scratching himself. So they have no time for anything. So we're sitting there, and the flight attendant from Southwest said, what do you guys want something to drink? You know, they're in a big hurry all the time. So I said, yeah, give me a Miller Lite. My other buddy said, yeah, give me a Coors Light. And my other buddy said, give me a Coke. And we said, no, give him a Coke. Give him a beer. And he went like, yeah.
Absolutely.
And right in the middle of that, she jumped in and said, it's pretty pretty crowded flight. Let's go, basically. So she said, so he said, okay, give me a beer. So she said, okay, Miller Lite, you know, Amstel Lite, and a, and she flubbed the word. And I said, look, it's a crowded flight. We don't have time for you to stammer. Let's go.
Oh, no.
PO'd. That was it. Guess
well,
who got it?
Wonderful stories.
Guess who got his beer 20 minutes after the other two guys got the beer, and then they had to collect it after I took one sip off. It's a little payback time. But come on. You bust balls. You got to get your balls busted, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Sean?
Hello?
You're 24?
Yeah.
What's up?
All right. I talk too much. Now we got a problem.
You got 1 minute. Go ahead.
You got chlamydia?
Yeah, well, I'm in the military, and I went to Thailand and got mixed up with a woman of the night there.
Nice.
And
you didn't wear a condom?
I did, but I woke up the next morning and she was playing with it.
Playing with a condom?
No.
Penis.
Yeah, but and so I started getting symptoms about a week later. Felt like somebody kicked me down there really about as hard as they could.
Yeah.
And my eyes got very swollen, and I got, you know, strep throat and all this other stuff, and they sent me to a doctor there. And he thought that I had had it and gave me medications, and none of the medications seemed to work.
Thought you had chlamydia.
Yeah, and so now I still keep, to this day, like about once a month, my eyes get swollen and infected, and I get that pain down there over and over.
Oh, how interesting. Well, there is something called Reiter syndrome, which is a recurrent urethral urethritis with eye inflammation. Sometimes, let me ask him this, your heels or back hurt?
Does my back hurt?
Or your heels,
ankles? No, not really.
But there is something called Reiter syndrome. You might want to talk to a doctor about that, R-E-I-T-E-R, apostrophe S. And sometimes it's kicked off by something like chlamydia. So got it checked out.
We'll be back.
Hello. This is your radio. Loveline will be right back.
Well, there you have another fabulous Loveline episode, safely in the ground. We'll take a little 22-hour break, and then we'll be back with more of the show.
Anybody tomorrow night?
No.
Oh, my God.
Just more airplane stories. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. I don't have a girlfriend, and no one at school likes me.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.